Okay, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. We're up right to the top of Lamed Gimel. And let us recall where we've been holding. We got into what certainly appeared to be a sidetrack. We started to talk about, because we had the cases in which someone would be both an Eshet Ach and a Achot Isha, so we began discussing what the din would be in terms of having actually slept with an Eshet Ach who is an Achot Isha. And we saw that there was a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yossi, you would be chayev both of them, Eshet Ach and Achot Isha. According to Rabbi Shimon, you would only be chayev either Mishum Eshet Ach or Mishum Achot Isha. The way we understood it until now is that it depends who got married first. So if there was an Isser of the Achot Isha first, in other words, the surviving brother got married first, so then the Achot Isha came first. Only afterwards the other brother took her, so now she became an Eshet Ach. Because of that, the only Isser would be Achot Isha. But if it was the other way around, if the Eshet Ach came first, then the Eshet Ach would remain Aser, but the Achot Isha, when the surviving brother marries, would not be Aser on him. Okay. Why not then go ahead and give Yibam? Because the moment that the Torah would be Matir, the Eshet Ach, of course, the Achot Isha would be Chal, and therefore there would be no way to be Matir. Yibam would be catch 22. Now, the question that we had yesterday was how to understand the machlokes, where Rabbi Yossi says, under any and all circumstances, it appeared to be saying, you'd be chayev shtayim. And yet we found that, in fact, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not so pashut. Rabbi Yossi himself says that where you were over an avera that has two separate chiyuvim, you go according to what was chal first, not what was more chomer, which is mashman that he doesn't hold of iser chal al iser. And the specific case that he had was somebody sleeps with his mother-in-law. It depends whether his mother-in-law was married before she became his mother-in-law or married after she became his mother-in-law. That would determine which iser would be chal. But we wouldn't say would be chayev both for eshet ish and for chamoto. So how do we explain the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi earlier, in which Rabbi Yossi said you'd be chayev both for Achot Isha and for Eshet Achiv? So we had two very, very different approaches. Rava came along and he said, actually, that was all just speaking in a very broad moral sense, but since he was over on two Isurim, even though the Maisa, we can't say Yisr Chal al Yisr, but in terms of where to be kaver him, we will be kaverim ben rishayim gemurim or ben rishayim chamurim, which we'll see more about today. So that avoided the whole question, and we can basically go back to sleep again and not worry about a machlokas of Yisr Chal al Yisr. We take it very pashut away. However, the other approach was to distinguish between an Yisr Chal al Yisr where you have an Yisr Mosif or when you have only an Yisr Kolel. That was the way that we understood it initially. So what we wanted to say was Rabbi Avu came along. His approach was not like Rava, and his approach was that according to Rabbi Yossi, if you have an Isur Mosif, so then if the Nasa Chai, the Achakach Nasa Meis, in that case there would be an Isur Mosif. What is an Isur Mosif? An Isur Mosif means when this particular Isur that this man has created now on this woman has new Isurim because of the fact that he has kolol more in this Isur. In this case, when he goes ahead now, initially she was basically Achot Ishto, that was him. But in a case where the mate now adds his own by marrying the sister, he answers now that woman on everybody, not only on the one who happened to have been married to her sister, but every one of the brothers now becomes usher because of Eshet Ach. So since all the other brothers are included in an Isser that is chal on this woman, this Isser is a more universal Isser, and is Kolo, the original person who was anyway usher, is Mosif on him this new Isser as well. That Rabbi Yossi holds up. So even though Rabbi Yossi said, Ein Isur Chal al Isur, when it came to the case of the Chamoto and the Eshet Ish. But nonetheless, that would be, in this case, Chal. Why? Because Isser Mosif. Okay, but the question was, in the other way around, the Gemara wanted to know, how could you say that Reb Yossi would be mowed in either direction? After all, in the other way, you don't have an Isser Mosif. Because if you have Nosa mate first, and therefore she became Asura now, and all of the brothers. Now comes along this guy, and he marries his sister, the sister of this brother's wife. So now what exactly is there that's being Mosif? He was already Asur on her, and everybody else was already Asur on her. What are you going to tell me? That since at this point, by marrying her, he also becomes Asur on other sisters that she has, which nobody else is Asur on. That's all very nice, but it has nothing to do with Isser Mosif. That is an Isser Kolel. Because what happened is that he now became Asur on other people with an Isser that is broad enough to include her. It's the exact opposite of an Isser Mosif, where she becomes Asur on other people, and an Isser broad enough to include him. Because over there you're talking about a problem with her, and over here you're talking about that, and that's where the addition is. That's Mosif. You're adding. The Isser Kolel is that you're absorbing him in some other issue. Over here, a new issue of a general Isser of Achot Isha, of a woman that you marry. So Memela, the same woman who anyway was Asur, because these other sisters are Asur, she's also Asur. That's exactly the opposite. Over here, the woman herself is Asura, and because the Isra on this woman, the new Isra on this woman, is Kolel the other brothers, it's Kolel him as well. Do you see the difference? Mosif an Isra on him as well. So one is a more universal Isser on the person that was originally Asur. The other is a more universal Isser in a new Isser that was dealing with other people, which is also absorbing him. So it's Kolel him with the others. So it's a mirror image, really, of Isur Mosif. It doesn't begin with the Isser on her. It begins with the Isser on others. So here it begins with the Isser on the other Achayot. Now we want to include him. Well, she's also an Achot. Can't we include the Yisr to her with these other Achayot? But that's Yisr Kolel. We didn't see that Reb Yossi held that Yisr Kolel. If anything, we saw other indications, as Tosfos brings, that he doesn't hold of Yisr Kolel. So therefore, we had really Rava's other approach because we didn't like this problem. But Lamaisa, yesterday the Gemara said, and this is where we were holding in the middle of the sugya, that the question of whether Isser Kolel would have been, according to Reb Yossi, an Isser Chalal Isser, is in fact the topic of a big machlokes between Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara, in which they seem to be arguing about what it was that Rebbe had said in three cases, though all three of which seem to involve the same principle, in which someone was doing something in the Beit HaMikdash that he had no right to do. Either we had a case of a czar who went ahead and was shimesh on Shabbos. So there's two Yisurim involved, Zarus and the Shabbos. Or a balmum, now, who went ahead and he too was mishamesh. The Gemara is going to ask what the issue particularly is on Shabbos. Because on the surface, it isn't so clear what exactly you're doing, but fine. The Balmum who went ahead now and did Shimush while he was also Tomei was the second case. And the third case was where a Tzar goes ahead and he eats a Malika. So Ba'of, that was Nimlak. So again, there's two Isurim. He's being over on eating Tzar Lo Yochal Kodesh. He's being over also on the Isur of eating Nevela. Because Malika isn't Nevela for anybody else. So in all three of these cases, Bar Kappara comes along and says, you're Chayav only one, and Rabbi Chiya says, absolutely not, you're high of two. Each one of them swears that this is what they heard from Rebbe, and that's where we were up to yesterday. We didn't get yet to an analysis of how does that boil down to the machlokas here about what Rabbi Yossi would have held of Isser Kolel. Fine. Today we're going to complete now the words that we began yesterday, ubiplukta. Ubiplukta means that this is a famous machlokas now between Bar Kappara and Rabbi Chiya. So we had yesterday as well Rabbi Avu and Rava basically arguing in how to understand Rabbi Yossi. And now today we're going to see that it boils down to the same machlokas. Okay, but Micah Mifugay, the first word is now on Lamed Gimel, and this brings us to the conclusion of yesterday's Ube Plukta. The Micah Mifugay. So what are they actually are? What's the common denominator that they're arguing about in these three cases? The Maisa, the Rishonim, are troubled by the obvious fact that yesterday we found that in each one of these cases, they scream at each other about what it is that they're arguing. So why are we asking what are they arguing? Are we not supposed to take them at their word that what they were arguing about is what they're arguing about? Whether the Yisr was Utter or B'migdash, whether the Yisr was Utter for Kayanim and so on. We will see that in the end, the way that we work it out works into the way that they had stated the Machlokas. But on the surface, the way that they had talked about yesterday, each one of these Machlokas, really didn't make much sense. To say, where would we get the idea of such a Migdash, such a Lo? What are the implications of such a thing, Bechlal? So today, again, there's many different ways of how to put it in, but in any event, we're looking for a common denominator. Let's not get too complicated yet and see whether we could come to a common denominator in these three cases. So what are they arguing about? Oh, the simple common denominator in the Machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara is that they are arguing about what the din would be with an Isser Kolel, Aliba to Rabbi Yossi. Rebbe had been teaching the dinim of Rabbi Yossi in Isser Chalal Isser, and Rabbi Chiya had one understanding, and Bar Kappara had another understanding of what it was that Rebbe had taught. So here is how they understood it. Rabbi Chiya Savar, Rabbi Yossi be Isser Kerlel Mechayev Tarte. Rabbi Chiya held that what he had heard from Rebbe is that you're Chayev for two things. And after all, did we not just learn that yesterday? We had a case in which somebody is both an Eshet Ach and an Achot Isha, and it didn't make any difference in what direction you got married, so that even if Nasa Met V'achar Kach Nasa Chai, which means that you already had the Isser Mesif, because it was already Isser on all of the brothers. And now what are you going to add a personal Isser to this man who marries the sister? So how could there be Isser Chalal Isser if Rabbi Yossi holds generally ain't Isser Chalal Isser? The only way out was to say that because at the time that he marries the sister, he becomes Isser on all sisters that she has. So that is called an Isser Kolel. And there too Rabbi Yossi would be motivated that it's Isser. So Rabbi Chiya says, yes, ain't a chinami. He's motivated that it's Isser. That's an Isser Kolel. It's not an Isser Mosif, because it doesn't add anything in this woman. It creates a general Isser on sisters. Okay, so if other sisters are Isser, she'll get dragged along with them. The exact opposite of an Isser Moses.
Even if she doesn't have a sister, just the possibility.
That already there's questions about. Some try to learn the sugyas here in different cases where there would or would not have been a chalos on others. Let's assume that there are others, so we don't get into that problem first. So now, according to him, Rabbi Yossi's Mechayev Tarte, and Bar Kappara Savar Lo Mechayev El Echoda, was according to Bar Kappara, Rabbi was teaching in Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi, the most he would say is Isser Meisif, he would never have said Isser Kolel. And that's the Machlokas, which boils down to the question that we had yesterday between Rabbi Avuhu and Rava. I just, before we go on, I want to make absolutely certain that everyone has the terminology down pat. We understand what an Isser Kolel is, we understand what an Isser Mosif is, we understand the issues of Isser Chalal Isser, and we recognize that the same case in an inverse order may be very different than that case in the first order. Is that clear to everyone? Okay, if anybody has questions, ask them now or forever hold your peace. Whether Nasa Chai or Nasa Meis. Who gets married first? Sometimes it can be Nasa Meis, or sometimes it can be Nasa Kailo. Right? Alright, so we have our terminology. Fine. Now that we know what an Isser Kolol is, and we're not going to get confused between an Isser Kolol and an Isser Maisif, Chas V'Shalom, mirror images of each other, fearful symmetry. So my Isser Kolol Ika, where exactly do we find here, in these three cases, Isser Kolol? Let's go through the cases and see if we, because that's what you're claiming. You're claiming the common denominator of a Zar who's Oved on Shabbos, of a Balmum who's Oved Betuma, and a Zar who eats Malika. You're saying all those three cases involve cases that are Kolel. That means that they have to have first had one stage and then had another stage. That's by no means obvious that we can work the cases out in such a way, but let's take a look. Let's go through them one by one. I understand the Isser Kolel in the case of Zar. Okay. The Zar starts off before Shabbos. He is mutter to do malacha in general. He is usher to do avreda in the Beis HaMikdash because he's a Zar. Now it comes along and it's Shabbos. Okay. Atyala Shabbat. What happens on Shabbat? Migo de mitzar malacha. Okay, other malachot now become asurot. Those other malachot are equivalent to the other sisters now become, they are the sisters of avreda, right? So Avodah alone was Aser in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the sisters of Avodah become Aser because it's Shabbos. So anywhere in the world, forget about doing Avodah, nowhere can you do any type of malacha at all. Being as other malachas are Aseras, so let us now add along, including in it, in Kolel in it, the Yisr of Avodah, assuming that there's some malacha involved, but let's assume that there is, the Yisr of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So now you want to tell me that it should be an Isser Kolel, and that's the machlokas. Did Rabbi Yossi hold two by an Isser Kolel, or did he hold one by an Isser Kolel? That would be the question. So now, would you want to say that it could be an Isser Mosif if Kohanim would have been Osir and Malacha too in doing the Avodah, right? That would be called an Isser Mosif. Before it was only Osir, this particular thing was only Osir on him. Now a new Isser has been added that is Kedol Afilu Kayanim. We're not Zorin. That would have been an Isser Mosif, not an Isser Kol, but it isn't true, of course. Because on Shabbos, it's actually Mutter Lekayanim. You can begin to see now how the wording, in the way that the Rebbe Chiya and Bar Kappara were screaming at each other, would definitely have relevance to this question now. Right? In other words, well, was it a new Isser that affected, or a new Heter that affected? Now that would be already Nogea if it affected Kohanim and only Kohanim. So we're talking about Kola. We'll see that it becomes a more clear as we go how the language would have worked in. So now, Migo de Kamitzar b'malacha, because of the fact that he is now usher on all the Melachot Shabbat, these being the sisters, so we add along the other sister. The other sister being, in this case, the Aveda. That's the Yisr Kolo. Okay, very good. Now let's take the next case. The Avodah with a Baal Mum, where he was also Tomei, right? Okay, he starts off as Baal Mum. We're assuming now that he's a Baal Mum, a congenital Baal Mum. He was born with something missing. He's only got four fingers. And now, so he's allowed to eat. Balmum eats kachin. Now comes along the Tuma. He becomes Tame, Itmi, but he's also Bavoda. So Itmi, now that he becomes Tame, Migu de Kamitzer Ba'achila, Mitzer Nami Ba'avoda. Now that he's become Osir in eating because he's Tame, he's also Osir in doing the Avodah. No, even though he already was. Here, the Isser of eating is the sisters. Right? So now the sisters have become Usher, so to speak. Eating has become Usher. They're the sisters. So once the eating has become Usher, the Avoda becomes Usher. Can I explain what's bothering you? Okay. What's bothering you is, what the heck is the connection between Avoda and eating? Yeah. That's really what's bothering you. I'll just explain it. No. I have to, because I see in you that you're responding to something very profound here, but you're not working it out in your head. You sense immediately what the problem is. There is a problem here. When we talk about Yitzhak Kolel, we don't mean anything at all. It has to be from the same Yitzhak. When we Aser the sisters, they're all going to be Aser because of Achot Ishto. So, right? So because there are other Achot Ishto, she also becomes an Achot Ishto. And I'm claiming to you that in this case, the Isra of Achila are the sisters. So the same way that the sisters are Aser Bachila, so therefore she should be Aser Ba'avayda. There's no connection between the two. One is one thing and one is the other thing. We're not going to, what does that have to do with Asering him in the Aveda? We can say, now that he's become Aser in eating Trefah, so now the Aveda is Aser. What? There's no connection at all between the two, right? Don't confuse me. I'm confused enough already. So now, the Tosis explains that obviously the only reason we're making any comparison here is because both the Isser of Achila and the Isser of Aveda are said in exactly the same way. Lo tikrav. So whether the Kirva is in terms of Achila or the Kirva is in terms of La'avod, we're viewing it as the same name of Isser. It's called Mishem Akas. Obviously, we're not going to add other Shemas because you added. That's not called an Isser Kelo?
It would almost be, it would be like the Samosis. It would be two different elements, two different.
Right, but it would have to be in this thing, not that there are other things. In this case, other things. The Isra Achila is the equivalent of sisters. Now there's a new thing that Asers the sisters, and while it Asers the sisters, here's another one of the sisters, because the sisters are called Kirva, and Avoda is called Kirva. So the Avoda becomes one of the sisters, so to speak. The other ones are eating, and this one is. Fine, that's the difference between.
Same issue.
Exactly. In terms of the shame, it's the same shame. Am I correct that now it makes sense to you?
Isn't this Balmuk, us and Avoda to start with? That's the Balmuk.
Yes. But we're looking for an Isser Kailal. Over here, this man was Usher on this woman anyway. It was his brother's wife. Okay. Now we're saying when he marries her, the sister, and now she becomes his wife's sister. So we're saying, okay, that's not Nogea her, you're right. But are there other sisters that are going to be also? Yes? So isn't she also a sister? So here too, the guy becomes Tommy. He's like, so what? He was Usher and Avoda before, true. But aren't there other sisters that are Usher now? Meaning, the Achila? So therefore, since Achila and Avoda are called the same thing, this sister also becomes Usher. That's the shot. That's why it's a stretch. And Tosis has to explain that. We're certainly not saying that any shame is going to answer you, that's for sure. Right? Before, on Ahmed Beis. Not here. Baruch atah Adonai Melech HaOlam Shekol Yemin Baruch.
Amen.
Now, we've got two out of the three cases, but I don't understand the last case. How in the world, Malika, how would you ever get a case where you would have an Isser of Zarut and then have the Malika become broader? Because the Isser Malika will always become Asur Bevat Achat. Huda Mashkachat La. Bisur Kolel Lo Mashkachat La. Once it's Nimlika, now it becomes Roy La Achila. At this point, the Isser of Zarus kicks in. And so, Mamela, you have Zarus at the same time as the Malika. Now, Tosfos times, but that's not really true. Because the Isser Zarus is in Chal until after you do the Avedas Hadam, which is Matir, this meat for Kohanim, so now it becomes also for a Zar. But as long as it's also for Kohanim, there's no particular of Isser Zarut. It's just, in general, this is not yet Roy Lachila. Right? So why isn't that considered to be two separate steps? So Tosis explains because since at the time of the Malika itself, it cannot be Chal because of the Isser Me'ila. If you hold Ein Isser Chal al Isser, eating at this point would be an Isser of Me'ila, not an Isser of Achila, basically, right? Until it's ready to be eaten. So there's you haven't got any kind of Isser because of the Malika yet, if you hold an Isser Chal al Isser. So that means the moment that you do now the Zrikas Hadam, You are now making something which is an avela, roi for achilas koyanim, and iser for achilas zorim, and achilas avela. But that's always going to happen at the same time, because it's the same dam that's matir, this meat for the kohen, is the moment that it now kicks in with its iser avela for the zar, for the non-kohen. And therefore, you never have a case in which it would be kolel. It could only be bevatachat. So why are you telling me that the three machlokas and share a common denominator that they're arguing about an iser kolel? This is not a problem of an iser kolel. So the iser nevela, the iser the zarut, is chal immediately upon the zrika, and then you've got an iser bat achat. I thought we were talking about an iser kolel. Okay, says the Gemara. Okay, fine. All right, I'll change it. You want me to change? I'll change it. We're talking about bat achat. Very good. The common denominator now of all three of them is bat achat. Now we're going to rearrange the cases. I'll show you how they're all bat achat. And that's what they're arguing on. They're arguing about what Rebbe said, Lagabi Rebbe Yossi Shita, even though normally Rebbe Yossi says, well, you could only be chayef for the iser that came first, in the case of a mother-in-law who gets married, or a married mother-in-law, depending on the case. You would always go according to what was usher first. So why over here is there any difference? Because it all happened at the same time. And since it happened on the same time, there may be no problem of iser chalal iser. Because iser is only not chalal iser when the state of iser was already taken by something else. It's like two electrons can't be in the same location, right? Okay, so you can't have two iserim in the same location. But if that location has not been preempted by another iser, so there's no way in which we can create one as opposed to the other. So we won't look at it as one or the other. We'll look at it as both simultaneously. There's no reason why we should. Or, perhaps we should say the one which is more chamor would be the only one that would now preempt this place, even though they were both theoretically falling together. So they're arguing now. What do we say? What does Rebbe Yossi say? Actually, what did Rebbe say about what Rebbe Yossi said in an iser bevat achat? And that was the question. As far as the question before about Chamoto, no, that wasn't Bevat Achat. But these three cases, which are Bevat Achat, there we have a Machloket. So we were wrong in what we said yesterday. We thought that the Plukta was in what Rebbe Yossi would hold about Isser Kailo. Now it turns out that can't be true because the last case couldn't have been in Isser Kailo. So if you're looking for a common denominator in the Machlokas of Bar Kappara and Rebbe Chia, about what Rebbe said, it's about bat achat and not about kolel. Okay? Let's take a look now how we could work out the three cases of being bevat achat. Obviously the last case works out. Let's see this inside. Instead we've changed our mind, and indeed all three cases are talking about bat achat. Again, Alibi Rebbe Yossi. Again, Rebbe Chia claiming now what he was taught by Rebbe is that Sava Rebbe Yossi be iser bat achat b'chayev tarte, whereas Bar Kappara claims, no, I was taught by Rebbe that Rebbe Yossi holds lo b'chayev elachoda. And where do we get the cases of bat achat? Let me show you. Hocha ma iser bat achat ika. Hocha, explain, how do we get three cases of bat achat? I'll tell you. Even though it doesn't appear reasonable on the surface, what happened over here is that, believe it or not, the Isser Zarut and the Isser Shabbat happened at the same time. Why is that possible? Very simple. He became a gadol in the middle of Shabbat as a non-kohen. That's all. So he grows up, he gets his two Zarot on Shabbat. So there you go. He becomes now Isser Zar and Isser Shabbat, Bahari Adadi. Looking at this guy, we say to him, okay, kid, what are you now? Are you a czar? Are you a czar? Or are you a Jew? A Shabbos? Well, both. How do I choose one be without the other? So you have now an Isser Bat Achat. The Balmum, how do you have the case of the Balmum now, who is going to be also, we have the case of the Balmum who is Tomei. Kegon de Aite Shtei Sarot V'yitmele. He became Tameh. I mean, it doesn't mean he has to become Tameh at that point, but that he became Tameh and a Baal Mum, and he grew up and found himself both a Baal Mum and Tameh. Da'avile Baal Mum v'tumah ba'ari adade. Or, there you don't even have to say this wild case. There you can say very simple. Some guy takes a Tameh cleaver and chops off his finger. So he becomes Tameh at the same moment that he becomes a Baal Mum. Now you'll say, but wait a minute, wasn't there a Negiah before it finished chopping? See, he became Tameh when it first touched his finger, and then only a moment later the finger was off. So here we have fascinating issues. Tosfos learns it's talking about just enough of his finger was cut off before for him to still be kosher. And now it's just his last touch that we need. And the last touch makes him Tameh and cuts off his finger simultaneously. That's hair splitting. That's mamish, the ultimate hair splitting, right? But others learn, that's Tosfos pshat. Very fascinating. There's some Rishonim who say that if, this is absolutely wild, but it shows up in a lot of places, that if it's toch kedei dibur, it's considered to be the same maisa, even though it has nothing to do with dibur. That toch kedei dibur is a din in simultaneity, la halakha. How does halakha measure simultaneous, and not a din in halakhas of speech? It's fascinating. So according to that, it wouldn't matter, as long as it's all done with toch kedei dibur, and we hope this guy is not a sadist, and gradually sawing off his finger, so that the pashtus, if he took a cleaver, it'll be betoke de dibur, and the damage is done. Okay, so he becomes tome, damage is done at the same time. You can have also that case. Shechotach etzbo b'sakin tmeya. Okay? The nevela could only be bevatachat, that we already saw. So we've got all three cases being bevatachat, and that was the machlokin, and everything is fine now, right? Says the Gemara, well, I'm not so sure it's fine, because, look, Rabbi Chia, I mean, we have to understand, but what really happened? I mean, Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappora can't both be swearing that the opposite event happened, right? I mean, there's gotta be some explanation of what Rabbi Chia thinks Bar Kappora is saying, what Bar Kappora thinks Rabbi Chia is saying, and how they traced each other's mistake to be able to say to the other one, you nincompoop, I swear that it's the other way around. And I know what you're thinking. You know what you're talking about. So, I mean, let's see if we can figure that out. I understand what happened over here from the point of view of Rabbi Chia. Okay. So, what happened was that Rabbi Chia said, look, what happened to Rabbi Chia, rather, was ki atnayer l'didei aliba de Rabbi Yosef. So what happened was, is that he was being taught Aliba de Rabbi Yossi by Reb. Okay. Ki atnaya la bar kapara Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. So he understands Rabbi Chia. Oh boy, poor bar kapara has no idea what he's talking about. Because when it's, of course it's true that Rebbe told him achas. Yes. But that was Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds enes achal al yisrafinu b'vat achat. So he, the poor guy, made the mistake of thinking that he was talking Rebbe Afila Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and that Bevat Achat made no difference, and that was his mistake. So therefore, he pops up and he swears, listen, your mamish got your mind, I swear to you, Rebbe said, not like that. Rebbe said two, not one. And Bar Kappora was saying the truth, of course. Rebbe said one, not two. Yeah, but that wasn't Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. So ki atnayla bar kapora, he was teaching Rabbi Shimon. But exactly what does Bar Kappora think happened to Rabbi Chia? If Bar Kappora thinks that he was learning Aliba de Rabbi Yossi achas, so koshke and Aliba de Rabbi Shimon achas, but Rabbi Shimon is the one who Bechlal doesn't hold of Isser Chalal Isser. We saw that was the original Machlokas in the Bright. What did he think? That Rabbi Chia shekuri gomishaker. He thought Rabbi Chia was lying. I mean, there had to have been some basis for what had happened for Rabbi Chia to get up and swear that it's the other way around it too. But over here, neither Rabbi Yossi nor Rabbi Shimon could hold of two. If you hold that even Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Isser Bevat Achat. So what did Bar Kappora think? Okay, you're right. You know what? A slight adjustment. We were right. Rebbe was teaching them the difference between Isser b'vat achat. All three cases were talking about the vat achat, but he wasn't going in Rebbe Yossi, he was going in Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe was explaining what does Rebbe Shimon hold if it's b'vat achat. So Rebbe Yossi holds even more. Rebbe Yossi holds Isser Maisiv, maybe Isser Ko. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Libra Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe Shimon is saying that as long as b'vat achat, there you could have Isser Chal al Isser. So now let's see. Rebbe Chiya is now saying, okay, I understand what happened. Actually, Rebbe definitely taught me Shtayim. He was teaching me Shtayim, Aliba, the Rebbe Shimon. So I need to swear. Because until now, for years and years and years, everybody has been saying, gentlemen, Rebbe Shimon does not hold Isser Chal al Isser. Everyone took for granted that that means he doesn't hold of Isser Chal al Isser, even under circumstances of b'vat achat, which are the most compromising circumstances when it comes to the klal of Ein Isser Chal al Isser. I don't care. Ein Isser Chal al Isser. I need to say, listen to you. I know you find this hard to believe, but I swear, I heard from Rebbe that Rebbe Shimon holds when it comes to Isser b'vat achat, there is an Isser Chal al Isser, and even though you never heard about this in your life, I swear to you, I heard it from Rebbe. And it's indeed shocking, and I was shocked, and so on. But believe me, this is what happened. Okay, that makes sense, because, I mean, everyone in his right mind would say to you, it's crazy, Rebbe Shimon is the sheet that holds any Isser Chal al Isser, so therefore, he has to be mechazik his words. But Bar Kappara, I understand Bar Kappara saying, no, I swear. What do you swear? I mean, what you're saying, everybody thinks. You don't need to swear. All you need to do is say, gee, I'm really sorry to hear that you believe that. But the truth is, everybody and his auntie knows that that's not true. That's all you need to say. What do you mean, I swear? He said the opposite. So, Loma Leili Shtebuye. What's he swearing about? Gosh, okay, new mail. Somebody got into a mood to swear. I'm like, gosh, why was swearing? But at least now we understand what happened, because now there is a tzat to say, I understand why you think too, but you silly. He was talking about Rabbi Yossi. He wasn't talking about Rabbi Shimon. What's the matter with you? No, I swear he was talking about Rabbi Shimon. Okay, fine. You have a misunderstanding. Now, how exactly did it work out, the misunderstanding? So Bishleim of the Bar Kappara. Rebbe was coming along and teaching him Aliba de Rebbe Shimon, and he says, okay, I know that Rebbe told me one when he was talking about Rebbe Shimon. Now, Bar Kappara, poor Bar Kappara got confused. Rebbe was talking about the din Aliba de Rebbe Yossi, and he thought Rebbe was talking about Rebbe Shimon. So when the two of us were arguing about what would Rebbe Shimon hold in a case of Isser Chal al Isser b'vat achat, he made the mistake of swearing. I'm telling you that lo mechayev el achada. That he's chayev too. He says, okay, that's obviously because he was teaching him Rebbe Chiya. Leave it to Rebbe Yossi. I swear he was chayev too. You're right. According to Rebbe Yossi, you're chayev too. Because Rebbe Yossi is more machmer in cases of Isser Chal al Isser, as we've already seen. Okay? So far, are we together on this? All right. Now, what did Rebbe Chiya think had happened to Bar Kappara now? Now we have the opposite problem. Rebbe Chiya is thinking that what? That Rebbe Chiya, that Bar Kappara is lying? I mean, I understand. What exactly happened over here? How could there possibly be a case in which Bar Kappara could say, Lo Mechayev El Achada, if Rebbe was teaching me Aliba to Rebbe Shimon, that you're chayev tarte. So who in the world could hold chada? I mean, Rebbe Yossi is even more machmir. He can't hold chada. So he's making the whole thing up. What kind of svara is he saying? Amalacha Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya says, can I explain to you what happened? It's not so poshut. You want to understand human psychology? Let me tell you what happened. You'll see exactly how the circumstances led poor Bar Kappara into this error. This is, no, we're not missions. No, we're not up to the Mishnah. But we caught you dremeling. We caught you dremeling. Oh, Richie, you've been overtaken. And let me tell you, Sabbath Josh does it with his eyes wide open. You have been totally outclassed, Rich. That's it. That's it, baby. Yeah, now we got to worry about everything. That's right, yeah. Now what? Is this going on since your first bar mitzvah?
No, last night.
We're just using the... We get finally got one thing to our advantage. Let us use it a little bit. Next, you're going to be saying we have to reset our watches.
No, that's
you. Stop the judge. He's only on home at
base. All right, so now, here is the amazing history of events that led Bar Kappora into this ridiculous error, says Rabbi Chiya. I'll tell you what happened. Armelecha Rabbi Chiya. Rebbe taught indeed too. Obviously, he wasn't making it up. Rebbe taught him too. And he taught him, I'll tell you, both cases now over here, he wasn't lying, and definitely Rebbe told him, cases of Ptur, 100%. But here's how it worked out. Two out of the three cases. Remember, we already saw there was a difference in the first two cases and the last case. Two out of the three cases, which could have taken place not bevat achat, and indeed the norm is that it's not bevat achat, right? I mean, we have to come up with these crazy situations, which became a gadol, or a cleaver with you. I mean, crazy, crazy cases. So two cases, Rebbe told him, indeed, you're potter, okay? And the reason that you were potter in those two cases is because they didn't happen at the same time. They happened the way we understood it originally, one after the other. So it was first it was Erev Shabbos, and then it was Shabbos, the way it usually is. Not that it became Shabbos at the same time that he became a Tzar, okay? No. I mean, obviously that would be the way. So I understand what happened. All right. Now, Rebbe never mentioned the third case to him, because the third case is a whole different issue. It's an issue of Bevat Achat. So Rebbe told him, look, Rebbe Shimon holds, there's no din of Isser Kelo. Had it been Bevat Achat, then in Achinami, we would have been Chayev. Me, he taught the same cases, Bevat Achat, and he said Chayev. To Bar Kappora, he taught the first two cases, which were not Bevat Achat, and he said, well, even though it's an Isser Kelo, it's Potter, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon. That's all that happened. Now, Bar Kappora, in his naivety, thought, hey, what about that third case? I remember everybody in the basement was talking about a third case. The third case being the Tsar and the Malika. Okay? He didn't hear that there was another case which we could take a common denominator of all three cases, create a Meshugana circumstance, which all three cases were Bevat Achat. So he had learned the first two cases very normally. Not realizing and not working it through in his mind, that the third case would have been mechayev us to look at it as being chal bevat achat, because as we worked it out, that whole interesting, that's an interesting thing. It's, as Tosis explains, it's bevat achat because of a really complex issue. First of all, there's an Isser Me'ila, which prevents now the din of the Malika Nevela from being chal. And then the moment the Isser Me'ila falls off is only with the Zrika. And with that, you're always going to have Bevat Achat. It's not surprising that somebody who heard people talking about three cases didn't work all that out in his mind. And in his mind, compressed the three cases the same way we have three cases. Now, of course, we understand there'd be two different ways of organizing this. You could have Isser Kolol in two of the three cases, but then make sure you don't mention the third case. Or you could be talking about Isser Bevat Achat with all three cases. Poor Bar Kappora. He, in his mind, jumped to the conclusion that there were really three cases. And there really are three cases. Except Rebbe never taught him about the three-case version. Rebbe taught him about the two-case version. And the two-case version, is two cases, Bedafka, because it's not Bevatachat. That's the thing, you see. So now Bar Kapora makes up his mind that the Zar Sha'ocho Malika, that part, well, that was probably the same thing, and Rebbe just didn't want to be repeating himself, so he didn't tell me the third case. So Chazi Bar Kapora, the Zar Sha'ocho Malika, the Ivy, the Danielah, since on the surface it appears similar, in his mind, before he worked it out, he mushed them all together, okay? Now, for the past 20 years, he's been assuming that there is a single halacha that includes three cases, including Zar Sha'achal Malika. Okay. 20 years later, he comes back to the sugya. Now he's trying to work out. So how does it work? Now he starts thinking about it. Because the din is, you're not supposed to start thinking about things. You're first supposed to learn them. So first, the person should be Ligmar Inish Vahada Lizbar. Okay, so he assumed, okay, I've got three cases. Everybody else is talking about three cases. Fine. 20 years later, he gets around to this sugya. Now he's working it out. So Ayinbi starts thinking about it. He says, wow, that is weird. Because the third case that Rebbe taught me, at this point he doesn't remember that Rebbe didn't teach it to him because it all became one gush in his mind. So he says, that third case could only be Bevatachat. And yet, Rebbe said that even though it's Nisr Vatachat, Rebbe Shimon would have held only one. Oh, gee, what about those other cases? Oh, so I guess the other cases were also Vatachat, you see. So he now messed himself up because of his original mistake as a youngster in which he puts all of these three things together. Now, not surprisingly, when he analyzes the data based on his initial misapprehension of the data, he never corrects it. Because to him, it's now become all the same thing. Everybody knows how that kind of thing happens. Happens all the time. So I've traced the assumption he's not being Meshaka Shakuri. He simply came to the wrong conclusion based on the data that was available to him. V'savar midaha bevatachat, hanami bevatachat. Well, if that's the case, it midahanach liftur, if the first two cases Rebbe told him are potter, libet Rebbe Shimon, which, of course, was true, but only because it was an Issa Kolal and not Bevatachat. But since Lashitati, it would have had to include Bevatachat also, because the case of the Zar and the Malika could only be Bevatachat. So he's thinking to himself, I swear, Rebbe told me that an Issa Bevatachat, nonetheless, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon, Yonich, I have one. Now you understand how it happens, said Rebbe Chia. That's why I'm swearing to the guy. What's the matter with you? I'm telling you, you're confused. That's the point. So in order to be able to work out, you can't assume that the other person is nuts. You can't. He's certainly not a liar. He's not insane. If you don't understand what the other person is saying, then you don't yet understand what you're arguing about yourself. That's what the Gemara is insisting. Look, we're not going to give a pirush over here in which one side is ignorant of what the other side means. That's an impossibility. So let's work it out in such a way that Rebbe Chia makes sense of Bar Kapora, and Bar Kapora makes sense of Rebbe Chia. Okay, now we've done that. Now we have, you see how important this is. I mean, this happens very often, in which people just make the assumption, well, you know, it didn't have to make sense what this guy said, Aliba the other sheet. That's not true. If it wouldn't have made sense, then you would have immediately said, wait a minute, I'm missing something, because he's not off his rocker. And that's exactly what happened, if you recall, the Maisa with Rebbe Yoshua and the Talmidei Beit Shammai. And he spent the rest of his life in tiny ice because of the way that he had said it's crazy. So the Talmidei Beit Shammai, what do you mean it's crazy? It's crazy? You really think we're crazy? You want to sit down and listen? And then he said, oh my God, how did I think he was crazy? I didn't even work out the ideas. So you can't argue someone unless you understand where they're coming from. And therefore, the Gemara now has worked out all of these details. So he thought, and therefore we now understand what happened, but poor guy made a mistake, that's all. Meisvei. Now wait a second, the problem is that doesn't really add up. But what are you going to do with this? Zar sheshimesh b'shabbat. Ubalmum sheshimesh b'tuma. Yesh kan mishum zarut umishum shabbat. Umishum balmum umishum tuma. Devar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Kan Ela Mishum Zarut or Mishum Balmum Bilvad. Here we've got two out of three cases. Doesn't say a word about Malika. Now, obviously, there's a reason that we had to leave out that case of Malika. Before we had the three cases, talking about the same Yesod. We've already been aimed on the fact that if we find only the first two cases and not the three, then we're not dealing about Bevatachat. Then we're dealing with the problem of Isser Kolel. Because if we want to talk about Vatachat, then we throw in the case of Malika, which now redefines what we've been talking about, correct? All right, gentlemen, now please start your engines, because if the Malika Masharia, and we have a machlokas here of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, for whose sake did we leave it out so that it would work? Okay? Tell me. Laman Sharia. What? To tell me, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi, we had to leave it out, right? In that case, we're going to say, no, but it wouldn't have been a machlokas in that case. No, that's absurd. Because if Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayav even an Isser Kerelstein, he certainly is not going to say in an Isser Vatachat that then you're not chayav Stein. Isser Vatachat is the most likely area for even someone who generally holds ein Isser Chalal Isser, that in this case, being as I cannot use one Isser to preempt the other Isser, they're both going to have to be chal. So if we can't have left out the case of Malika, which would be Bevatachat, because, in that case, Rabbi Yossi obviously wouldn't have argued, he would have held ein Isser Chalal Isser. It's absurd. If anything, in that case, for sure he would have said that Isser is Chalal Isser. So it can't be for his sake we left it out, right? Ela lav l'Rabbi Shimon. We must have left it out, aliba to Rabbi Shimon, which would mean, amazingly, that Rabbi Shimon actually holds just the opposite. That somehow, because of the fact that Isser Kolel hu de patur, and Isser Bevatachat, he would actually be Machayev. So that the Machlokas can only be in a case where it's not Bevatachat. Because if it's Bevatachat, just like I said, Rabbi Shimon holds in a case where it's Bevatachat, that I'd have to be motivated at Isser, it would be Chal al Isser. Par Kapora, you're in big trouble now. Because here it's clearly telling us that we don't want to mention the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi in the third case, which would have been Bevatachat. Why? Because there isn't a Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi in the third case. Because Rabbi Shimon is moda that in close cases of the third kind, in such cases we would hold Bevatachat is certainly going to be Isser Chalal Isser, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Now how is Bar Kapora going to put that in his pipe and smoke it if according to him, Rabbi was talking all along about all three cases being Bevatachat, and nonetheless claiming he thought, although that was really only something that he had done in his own mind to throw in the third case, and he thought that Rebbe had taught him that in all three cases it didn't would be Rebbe, Shimon hold your potter. So Bar Kapar explained to me, why does this Brisa leave out the third case in the Machlokas, Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Yossi? Because there isn't any third case, that's why. Because you created the third case. There you go. To Yufta to Bar Kapora, to Yufta, you're right, that blows him out of the water completely. Now, there's nothing he could say. There was no other way that we managed to figure out the machlokas here between him and Bar Kapora, and him and Rukia, I mean. So we finally worked it all out. Now that we worked it all out, we've proven him wrong. Indeed, Rukia was 100% right. Bar Kapora had gone through an early assumption, which became locked into his mind. And here we see that indeed it was only an assumption, because in the final Braita, which is the product now of the learning after he was a kid, in the final Braita, it's very clear that he was taught only two cases, the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, not three cases. So it says Reb Chias, you see, I'm right. In any case of Bevatachat, whether it's the Malika case or you want to restructure the other two cases, that they would also be Bevatachat, which had I thrown in Malika, I would needed to have thrown it in, there would never have been a Machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon would have held Yisrael Alis, Bevat Achat. Kiyuvta. The Shavua is fine. The Gemara says if a Talmud understands something and is 100, it's Libay Ansei, is the Lashon in the Dorim. His heart has coerced him, so it's as if someone held a gun to his head, because logic is a gun to your head. What are you going to do? You're going to violate logic? Being as I know this to be true, I'm swearing on the basis of what I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. When I swear, I'm saying my mind is absolutely convinced that this is what happened. Now, if you prove to me that I was hallucinating, that's not a shvuah shaker. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, this is what I heard. Okay, but I still need to understand how that could have happened. Fine. To you. Now, just getting back to the issue, because I don't quite understand. You said all along that there's going to be a problem of Yisrachal al Yisr Lagabi Azar that was Shemesh B'Shabbos. But what exactly did he do that was a Chilul Shabbos? I mean, what's the Chilul Shabbos in Aveda exactly? I mean, B'mai, is it Shechita? I mean, Shechita is kosher bizarre, right? I mean, so you're certainly not going to tell me that he did the Aveda. I mean, B'Yisr, there's no Aveda B'Yisr. Azar is perfectly kosher to do Shechita. What did he do? He did the Kabbalah. He did the Halacha. Is that what you're saying? What's the problem of doing Kabbalah and Halacha vis-a-vis Shabbos? I mean, vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's Tiltul Ba'alma. What's wrong with doing that? You're inside of the Chotzer. You're not doing carrying Arba Amis Pershus Harabim. So what is it? It's Muktzah? Is that the problem? We're talking about Muktzah.
I understand. He's forbidden to be there. That's not a Shabbos problem.
Well, not necessarily. He could have done all of this in the Ezra's Yisrael, but he's not Tomei, and he's not really a Serf Knesset. So it's Tiltul Ba'alma. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's the Haktara, obviously. That's always what the first thing you're thinking. But that unfortunately doesn't work out at all. Because it happens to be that Reb Yossi is the man d'Orma that Avor L'Laviyat says. So according to him, there's not really a Chiyav of Chilul Shabbat on the burning of the Avorim. So it can't be on the Haktara. So what is it? Omer. He's not lighting the fire. It's not a malacha. Not according to Rabbi Yossi. Remember, we have a machlokus. Is Havar according to Rabbi Nosson lechalek, or is it lalav according to Rabbi Yossi? Correct? We have two different approaches. This is not going to work. No. Yeah. Right, so tomorrow we'll just go back. And they started coming much earlier. It's going to be worse than it is in the other place. Yeah. Okay? No, I wasn't Mr. Donovan. No. So we were misled. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Okay, so Omer Rabbi Yossi Havarad Alav Yatzat. Omer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Okay, I'll tell you. Let's go back to the Shechita. And it's talking about B'Shechitat Parosh or Kohen Gadol. It's talking about it's actually Yom Kippur here. That doesn't mean necessarily it was both Yom Kippur and Shabbos, because that might involve us in three Yisurin, and we only said two, but we may be calling Yom Kippur Shabbos, because it is called Shabbat Shabbaton, and therefore it's referring to the Yisur Shabbos, which are the same Yisurim of Yom Kippur. That's a similar. Okay. So Shechita is the Parosh of Kohen Gadol. There's a machlokus about whether the things that need to be done by the Kohen Gadol are only the special things that are done on Yom Kippur, or anything has to be done on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. So if you hold that Shechitas Parasha Kohen Gadol is posel bizarre, so then he did something that was also on Shabbos and so on, and it all works out. And wait a second, why does it say a czar? Then any Kohen can't do it. If it had to be a Kohen Gadol, it could have just said a Kohen Hedya. That's what Tzar means. Tzar means a guy who wasn't supposed to be doing this. A Kohen Hedya is indeed a Tzar in this case. Tzar, it's full karma. That's all he meant. What is this discussion that you guys are having here? What? Did it say something about bringing a korban chatas? We were talking about lists of korban chatas. Anyway, these things you're not chayav chatas. A lot of the things we mention are not chayav chatas. They may be a chayav of mitah bidei shamayim, like the Zar Shach also, but where does it say that you're chayav karet to be bringing a chatas? So what are you looking for? Technicalities. Is it a malach? Is it not a malach? We're not adding up chataot over here. Is it chataot katani? Or are we talking about isurim? Olavi katani, or other learns. Are we talking about chataot necessarily? Are we talking about isur lavim necessarily? We're talking about, there's another gear that says, isuri katani. Ela isuri ba'alma kachashiv. All we're looking at is, does a guy do something over here? Two separate Yisurim, is it one is? That's all we're asking. So say, who cares? What are the implications? What, again, are we counting up his moral points that we have to decide how many Yisurim he is? Oh, what a terrible man. Look at all these Yisurim he's doing. Yeah, as we said before, L'mayin nafka mina, l'kovro ben rishayim gemurim. Here, indeed, I mean, it doesn't make sense to say anymore, l'gabed Yisur skila. You know, to put him in the Beit HaKvarot of the Yisur Skila, because we're not talking about Skila anymore. Here, for sure, it seems to be the Pashtus, that it's just a matter of whether he's viewed as a bigger Russian than the other. Like Tosfos said, you don't put a tzaddik next to a Russia, means even a relative tzaddik next to a Russia. Although, there's some who understand that. No, what Rashi is saying is that any time a guy is willing to be such a no-goodnik that he ignores even multiple Yisurim, and goes and does something, then he's like a Russia Gomer to be Nikbar in the ultimate Rishayim. Despite the fact that he wasn't even killed in Bezda, which is amazing Kiddush, I mean, I have to say such a thing. Now we'll do it tomorrow, I think, because this is outrageous. You know?